I mean, it's kind of, I don't really understand either. I mean, the O's are very universal, seem to be like you can donate that to anybody, but the RH is like really scarce. And it's just interesting because there's a real concentration of that in these royal bloodlines. And so, is that a different, is that an indication of even a different species because their blood's that different? Or they call themselves blue bloods. Apparently, the RH negative has kind of this purplish tint to it.
Experience the groundbreaking advancements of Leela's quantum technology, now backed by over 40 placebo-controlled studies conducted by elite institutions and renowned universities worldwide. This revolutionary technology surpasses previous achievements, as confirmed by prestigious organizations such as the Emoto Institute in Japan. Scientific investigations reveal that Leela's technology not only enhances blood health and circulation, but also neutralizes the adverse effects of electromagnetic fields, expedites wound healing, and elevates ATP production in human cells. Embrace the extraordinary benefits of Leela's tech as recognized and utilized by world-class athletes, esteemed functional medicine practitioners, and leading figures in the field of biohacking. Explore a range of transformative products from the Heal capsule, shielding you from harmful EMFs, to the Quantum Block, allowing you to infuse frequencies into your cherished possessions. Dive into the realm of innovation and wellness at sarahwestall.com/shop or by following the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have author Dean Henderson coming to the program. He has a huge following, very large following. He has all six or seven books, and he tracks the bloodlines, the royal bloodlines, all the way from ancient Sumeria to today. Very fascinating. He has a ton of references in his books and a lot of research, and ties it into, the ancient Sumerian tablets, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Bible, and then he ties it to the City of London and all the things that happened through the Templars and the bloodlines through today, and who rules the royal families, the presidents, all that stuff. Very fascinating, but it's important too, so that we understand our history. Most of this history is not known, it's not taught. And so if you want to learn something, whether you agree with them or not, the historical references are important to get a foundation of what it is that we're dealing with. And you don't know who really makes decisions until you know where the money is coming from. Follow the money is real, right? You need to know who owns things and who's making the decision based on the ownership of the world and different areas and land ownership and all that. So it's important. It's important research. So I had a fascinating discussion with him, and I hope you watch this whole thing. But before we get into that, I want to tell you I still have Mind Control and Fifth Generation Warfare is up at Brighteon University. If you missed it, you can still purchase the whole digital package. If you buy the digital package, you will also get hours of bonus material and Leela Q, the quantum energy service. You get upwards of a $50 free month. It's a $50 value, and you get a free month with buying the digital package. If you get the premium package, you get a sleeping pod and EMF devices, the sleeping pod, the phone card, and a pendant. It's a special package they just made for this series, and you can't buy it separately. So hopefully you will look into that as well. The link for that is below. Otherwise, you go to brighteonuniversity.com and check that out. We had a ton of interference through this series. The last day it ran, the whole system was taken down and they had to bring it back up. So a lot of people didn't get to see the whole series. And so maybe we'll come up with another way to run it later or something. But right now it's only available through purchase at Brighteon University. I hope you take the time to, if it's something you're interested in, hopefully you will buy it and share with others and get other people to buy it, because it helps fund the work that we did. It took a lot of effort. Helps fund the platform that it's on and my work. So hopefully that's something that you find value in. It's important because, well, I believe it's why we're dealing with everything we're dealing with. This whole mind control, fifth generation warfare is how they get all of the agendas done. And the only way to really beat this is to have an idea of it. You can't win if you're always being controlled. I mean, you can't be manipulated to win. You have to stop being manipulated. Then you can stand back and actually fight it. So it's number one is to stop being manipulated. That was the entire point of this series. So hopefully you give it a chance. It's at brightionuniversity.com and the link is below. Okay, let's get into this fantastic conversation I have with Dean Henderson. Hi, Dean. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for having me.
Well, you have a really interesting set of books and a large following, and you are not afraid to go there. You talk about bloodlines, you talk about the all the way back to ancient Sumeria, and then track it all the way to the city of London today, these bloodlines. Before we get into that, can you talk a little bit about your background?
Well, I grew up on a farm. It was like a cattle ranch too. I mean, we had about 2,000 acres probably, and a couple hundred head of cows, and then we had pigs, sheep, chickens, ducks, whatever. We just had everything, and then a huge garden and diversified farm. Back in those days, guys would raise oats and barley and feed the cattle with it, and of course wheat and nowadays in this part of the country it's corn and soybeans, so it's changed a lot. But yeah, it was back when we had like a lot of people who were really self-sufficient, I guess, in the 60s, 70s, before the farm crisis of the 80s. Grew up there. Then I, so I was pretty really sheltered, like, yeah, really sheltered. I mean, I never saw the ocean until I was 21 or something. I was a jock, I was a musician, played in the jazz band at college even, and a pretty good football player. And but I was really sheltered. So went to college, 2 years SDSU, South Dakota State University, 2 years University of South Dakota, where I graduated. And it kind of was there that I kind of, well, I guess at SDSU too, I was starting to get active because I was active with the Palestinian group that was there. There was Palestinian engineering, ag engineering, was kind of a strong suit of SDSU. So the Palestinians would come there to learn ag engineering, back in the days of USAID and when everything was cool and these people could come here and study and then go back and help their country. It's kind of the John F. Kennedy vision of the Peace Corps, actually, even though it got totally corrupted. But it was different back then. So you could meet foreign students, a lot of them, and stuff like that. So they, I started hanging out with them, and then we started protesting about Israel, and we started protesting about South Africa was the other issue at that time, apartheid, which we kind of won in a couple of years. That was good. And then, here we are today. We still have this Israeli-Palestinian problem. But then I went to Nicaragua with Witness for Peace group, protested the Contras when Reagan was financing the Contras, back in the 80s. And saw what was really going on there, which is horrifying, just drug trafficking and really vicious, brutal killings and terrorism by the CIA against the local Nicaraguan people, all because they rose up against the Somoza family, which controlled like 65% of the arable land at that time in Nicaragua, and worked for the Spanish Crown and the CIA and United Brands Banana Company, whatever. So learned a lot in a hurry, and then I traveled, did a solo trip around the world through India and all around the world for about a year, and then I came back and got my master's at University of Montana in Missoula, and got a full ride to do that. I was a Erasmus scholar, and both of those degrees were interdisciplinary programs. So I studied, it wasn't just one thing. It was politics, it was anthropology, it was sociology, economics, all kind of stuff. And but I really kind of became, I guess, like a political economist, is what we called it back then. It was like Richard Barnett and like people that are just interested in who owns the resources of the world,
Sure.
people that are trying to, yeah, find out ownership,
Well,
so I did my
that's
thesis.
who controls the world, who owns it, and
Yeah,
where the money
right.
comes from. Yep, keep going. I don't mean to
Right.
interrupt you.
No, right, no, exactly. And so just yeah, to me too, exactly. It's logical. Okay, if we want to win this battle against injustice, first we got to find out who owns the world, So that was the direction I was going. And then I did my thesis on the oil companies and really the Gulf War in 1990. Missoula had the highest per capita protests in the U.S. at that time, according to the Nation magazine, and I was one of the people that was leading those protests, you know. And I was also doing an alternative newspaper called the Missoula Paper, which was just this really crude. It was probably the first of what they called the zines later, you know. Actually, one of them, because we just like stamped them with a red stamp, even, and took the little lines. I mean, it was just crazy, but it was cool. We went after the corporation. We went after, we supported like the tribal people out there in Western Montana a lot with their battles against Chevron in particular, and the Badger Two Medicine Blackfeet people. And so I got to, yeah, and I learned all the way along a lot, and I took a lot of classes, and I hung out a lot with Native American people, and learned a lot. I learned probably, I could say everything I know kind of comes from Native people, really. I mean, the important things. And so, yeah, so then,
But you know
you
for
know,
real, right? Like what you were seeing now in universities is horrible. I mean, it's like this I see this entitled spoiled brat behavior that is not tied to the real essence of what they claim they think they are.
Yeah. Well, it's because college, you can't even go unless you're from kind of the upper crust anymore, really, or you get lucky, get a scholarship. It's so expensive, so you do have a more gentrified, yeah, spoiled bunch of kids on the college campuses
That
nowadays.
don't even
But
get what they think that they're fighting against.
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I've just
honestly,
that's just been my experience. It seems
yeah,
like it's all
I think, you know
inverted.
what, I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think up till, but you know, like what I was gonna say is these Palestinian protests kind of changed my thinking on it a little bit, because I was really proud of them kids for doing what they did. Even if they didn't fully understand it, you have to understand how dangerous it is to speak out against Israel. I mean, those of us who have
Sure.
done it have just gotten fucking hammered.
Well, they put
And
agitators in there and then they spun it to make them look
they
like,
do
yeah.
too. They do too. And those are the people who are doing the bad things always. But still, it was pretty huge, and the Palestinian people really appreciated it, man.
I'm sure.
And
Yep.
they did,
They
and
couldn't see
they,
through COVID. They couldn't see through a lot of
yeah,
other things, but
a lot of things.
they saw through this,
I
I
think,
think.
yeah. So it's interesting, right? It's like, wow, never. I had almost like given up on, like you, like these college campuses. They just seem like cultural deserts, and all of a sudden that happened. So we'll see. But you know, maybe there's something to this white buffalo calf, you know, being born at Yellowstone.
Huh,
My
I don't know about
understanding is,
that.
well, it's a Lakota prophecy that was made quite a few decades ago, but not that long ago. Pretty recent prophecy that they predicted there'd be a white buffalo calf born, and that that would be a sign of a big change, an awakening, but also like a warning, you know.
It's kind
And
of like the red heifer in Israel.
you
That was
know,
born too. So, all these things are happening. So, let's talk about your work because your work is extremely interesting. You look at ancient texts and you look at today's world and you try to trace back the bloodlines from the ancients to today. And you bring in the Anunnaki and the Nephilim. And do you what's the difference between the two, and how often do you see that in? Because I know in the Bible the Anunnaki I believe is referenced 22 times. So where are we seeing the Nephilim and other and Anunnaki and other ancient texts, and what are they and how are they related? Let's start there.
Well, the Anunnaki is really the translation of, well, it comes from the Sumerian clay tablets, to my knowledge, that word. And Nephilim is in, I think, the first paragraph of the Bible,
So I've
very
swapped
first
it.
paragraph.
Nephilim is probably
I
in the
think it's,
pair.
you're
Yeah,
thinking
I
of
swapped
Nephilim.
it. I screwed it up. Yep.
And it's at least 22 times. It surprises
Yeah.
me it's not more, but they're mentioned. And then there's also the Elohim, you know, or the
Yep.
Watchers,
Yep.
which. But anyway, to me, as to what's the difference, to me there isn't any. To me, it's synonymous. I didn't always really make that. You know, it's amazing how we can keep things separate in our brains that are just obviously connected, and we've been trained so well to do that, right? But it just at one point it just dawned on me, wait a minute, what sits in these tablets and with the Bible? Okay, wait a minute, boop, that's the same thing. So I title one of my books Nephilim something, and one of them Anunnaki, and that's a synonymous word to me. But it just now the Sumerian clay tablets tell us, yeah, that they come from this planet Nibiru whose ozone was failing, so they came to the Earth to get this gold flecking, so they had to do gold mining. So this, and it was about the same time as the gold mines in South Africa appeared. Which is interesting. And they said they did DNA experiments and they created a kind of a worker race of people. Some parts of me thinks that might be the Caucasian race because it just seems like, I don't know, like a lot of white people just like to work too much, and
Well, the Mauro Beglino, the Vatican translator, who's translated 17 books for the Vatican, he concurs with this translation of what you're talking about.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, interesting. Anyway, and so, yeah, so they came here apparently, and it says, it just says in these tablets, which is the oldest form of language we have really on this earth. No, not really. I mean, it is. It's the oldest language we have. It's a cuneiform language, and Sitchin and others have translated this. And at first, they took it like these are just, it's a mythology, kind of like they do with the Indians when they talked about, oh, yeah, we came up out of the ground. They're just thinking, oh yeah, right, come up out of the ground. This is just like this is supposed to be a metaphor. The same thing with the tablets. Oh, this must be metaphors. This couldn't really happen because the tablets were saying things like, yeah, they forced us into agriculture was one thing they said, and the Anunnaki forced the Sumerians into agriculture. Which, okay, so you're in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, the birthplace of agriculture, and then doing this last book that I wrote, I found out that not only did the agriculture appear there, but it also appeared within 500 years in the Indus Valley, and then synonymously in Central America, South America, China. I mean, all at the same time, and then all at the same time too, animals were domesticated, right? So something happened 8,500 roughly years ago that dramatically changed the way humans live, because humans before that were hunters and gatherers, and they would move and they would have a hut, and then maybe they'd knock the hut down and forget about it, or if it was a good place by a river, maybe it would be a little specialer hut, and they'd reinforce it. But they'd move around all the time with the animals and the hunting and the fishing and the seasons, and that was the way humans live for, we don't know, we keep going back further and further as far as estimates of how old, humans are. But for that long, million, hundred, 100 million years at least, we lived that way. And then all of a sudden, something happened and we're domesticating animals and we're sedentary, and and then land ownership follows shortly. And this is the first king that we saw was King Sargon. King Sargon was a Sumerian king, the first. And we hadn't seen kings and queens and titles and nobility on this planet before that. It's all foreign. It's because it's alien. It's not something that, belongs with human beings. Don't do that because we're like the other animals, and the other animals don't do it. Now, of course, they're trying to spin it to where, yeah, just the opposite. But it's from somewhere else. And then you have, okay, so you have all this stuff in Sumeria. And then basically, if you look at the path of agriculture, the path of all these this domestication of animals, it also coincides with the building of these massive temples around the world, like Tikal or Angkor Wat or Chichen Itza or any of these places. And that's where the whole thing comes in, where oh, the Aztecs, they sacrifice people, and so, and that oftentimes that snippet of information is used by, kind of racist anthropologists to say, oh yeah, look, the Indians were just like we were, they were no better. But in fact, what it appears to me is there was an intervention by the Anunnaki in all these places to force people into agriculture. That's what the tablets tell us. Domesticate animals, and then basically they occupied the temple, the Anunnaki priesthood or whatever, and they enslaved them. And they were the ones that lived in the temples, the Anunnaki, not the Aztecs. And they were the ones that probably forced the Aztecs to sacrifice, or maybe even did the sacrifice. We don't know. But all that happened at the same time. And it was a huge shift in human behavior that for some reason people don't really want to delve into too much, And the reason is because the same bloodline, Sargon and Anunnaki bloodline is still, it's moved. It's moved to Egypt first and Babylon, and it created all religion, spirituality.
In 2023, according to MIT Living Wage Calculator, folks in major cities needed around $68,499 just to make ends meet comfortably. But guess what happened next? In just 1 year, that number shot up a whopping 40% to $96,500. Can you believe how much inflation has affected us? That's the kind of inflation that keeps us up at night. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure can't afford to keep pace with that kind of skyrocketing cost of living. It's downright scary. But you know what's even scarier? Not doing anything about it. That's why I've been talking to folks over at Miles Franklin. They're all about helping regular people like you and me protect our hard-earned savings. With gold and silver, you can lock in the value of your money and shield yourself from the ups and downs of the economy. So if you are like me and want to keep your nest egg safe and sound, reach out to Miles Franklin at info@milesfranklin.com. Just mention my name, Sarah sent me, and they'll take care of you like family, because it's just how we do things here in Middle America. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your future today.
Wrote the Talmud, became the Radonite bankers, the Babylonian Radonite bankers. One of those was the Baccarat family, which became the Bauer family, which became the Rothschild family. So the Baccarats were always running the west side of the Silk Road trade, and the Chinese Li family, which is another one of the bloodline, because the bloodline went all over. I mean, it's the same
Sure.
bloodline in the end, but they took different names and different appearances. The Khan bloodline, Genghis Khan. Yeah, I mean, they're still powerful.
So did
The Adi Khan,
you think this bloodline came from the Anunnaki or the Nephilim? And then did the Nephilim and Anunnaki leave? Do you think they're
no,
still
they're,
here?
yeah, they live in castles, in big castles, and whether it's Sultan of Brunei, whether it's King Charlie, whether it's
They're not very
Luxembourg
many of
monarchy
them.
in Norway. Not that many. I mean, not compared to us, but they've interbred, and they did interbreed with the Jewish banking families, and that's where the Rothschilds actually got cut in. I mean, but they're, it's the same bloodline. Habsburg, I think, is the most powerful of the families, if I had to pick one, because they're behind the Bourbon dynasty. They're behind the in Spain and Portugal. They're behind they have the king of Brussels is a Habsburg, or Belgium, I mean. Several kings in Central Europe are Habsburgs, are queens, and very powerful family. And they apparently have the sword of destiny that was used to kill Jesus, because, see, in my view, the bloodline, this Anunnaki bloodline, is exactly who killed Jesus. And it's just God, and it's just a trail of carnage, and bloodshed, and war, and slavery, and genocide of indigenous people, and theft by the Knights Templar of all the treasures of the world, really, because they had the first ships, so they just went around and just
Well,
decimated Indian tribes and took their stuff.
my understanding is that the Old Testament was a book they created to control the people. And then Jesus came and said, wait a minute, this thing is all BS, and restructured that. And then Christians today have, they call themselves Christians after Jesus Christ, but then don't even follow what he taught because they still believe in the Old Testament. And he was saying that, no, the Old Testament, although my religious background, what I was taught was exactly that the Old Testament, he came to teach you that the Old Testament. So I don't know, there are some Christian sects that believe
Interesting.
exactly what Jesus said,
What your
but so
background is, huh?
many of
Interesting.
them don't believe that.
Interesting. Makes sense, kind of. Yeah, makes sense. What's your religious background, may I ask?
Well, I'm Episcopalian background, but it must
Okay.
be just my mom was a Eucharistic minister, and we were just always really, I always had to acolyte every other weekend and all this stuff. But I always remember being taught that this is what, I'm not super religious right now. I'm more spiritual, but I just remember always learning that. And then as I became adult and met other Christians and stuff, and I realized most Christians never learned that, and they didn't learn what Jesus really taught. They, because of the intermediary, between their
Right.
priest or the reverend. It's
Right.
in between them, and they don't learn the true teachings. And
Exactly.
so, and then they believe it with fervor, and like,
Yeah.
well, it's not even what Jesus taught. But
Yeah.
anyways, keep going.
No, good point. yeah, that makes me think of liberation theology. That's where the where, that's where the Catholic Church kind of really got on the outs with the Illuminati, and was in the late 60s. They did the Medellin II convention in Bogota, Colombia. They declared they were going to stand up for the peasants and the farmers and the poor people in Latin America instead of the landed oligarchy, finally.
Wow, what
And
an amazing thing. Yeah, I
what an
mean,
amazing
that's
thing. And
what
so,
it's supposed to
yeah, and
be.
right after that is when all these revolutions started happening in El Salvador, Nicaragua, Brazil, all over. And it was a lot of Catholic priests and even bishops, like Dom Pedro, this bishop in Brazil. He's a Catholic bishop, and he took arms up and went to the jungle even. And it was crazy. And so ever since then, yeah, people think the Catholic Church is the most powerful. Now, it was just something to, what they do is, what I've learned is, they hide behind things. So yeah, they went to Babylon, they went to Egypt, they became the pharaohs. That's why they had elongated skulls, because they did have elongated skulls. And some of them still do, if you pay attention. They went to
They do.
Babylon,
And you can see
then they
that
do.
because it's the skull is actually different. Because when they studied there, you can
Yeah.
see fossils and stuff. The skull, it's not a human skull that's been
Yeah.
recrafted, you know, that's turned in. They actually have
Yeah.
different, they have what,
Right.
three areas and we have two? I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
remember. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I just say, look at Prince William, okay? For real, look at Prince William and see if you think that's a normal human skull. Because that's your Antichrist if you're gonna pick one. And that's the gonna be the ruler of the kingdom of Jerusalem or whatever, that they're trying to pull this thing off where, Israel's the capital of the world, and it's a new world order and all that stuff. And that's the guy right there. So
You think that's what's happening? Because I, you know, my research is showing me they're almost trying to destroy Israel and moving its base to Ukraine.
well, yeah.
I mean, I
Yeah,
don't
that's
know. That's
interesting. I
what some
mean,
people are theorizing.
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I agree there's a lot of similarities between Ukraine and Israel. and it's also very strategic, but so is Israel, so I can't imagine them giving it up
That's
unless
true.
they
That's
just
true.
feel like the Muslims are just going to overwhelm them, which is possible, right?
Well, but they're
In
acting in a
Mexico,
way
that
to,
is possible.
well, they're acting in a way to get the world to turn against them. It's almost like
Oh,
they're
yeah, seems like,
manufacturing what the
yeah.
Bible says is going to happen. It's not
Almost,
happening naturally. They're manufacturing it.
yeah. The raptured Christian, whatever. Yeah, the fundamentalists love it, I suppose. Yeah, because that's their whole shtick, right? That Israel has to be destroyed before, which is really
Yeah.
weird.
Which is weird that
But
they're manufacturing it. So how do you even
yeah,
believe it to be real when you guys are just creating it yourself? It's like, it's so stupid.
Could be. There could be some too. I definitely know Ukraine is. They're all in on Ukraine. Okay. They're all in on Ukraine, and it, for one thing, it's, people forget it's the breadbasket of the Eastern Hemisphere. I mean,
That's true.
yeah, they forget that, and so it's like Canada, as far as wheat and barley and all that stuff. So it's hugely strategic. That's why right away they were, when the Soviet wall came down in Berlin or whatever, 89, right away. I mean, that was the first place the CIA, really worked on, was Ukraine. There was a lot of USAID funding and NGO activity, so forth. And they so they're not going to let go of Ukraine easy, but I just think, yeah, it'll depend. I mean, I think right now what I'm seeing that's interesting, that I can't say I've really seen it in my lifetime yet until now, is I really feel like, sense like they're kind of on the ropes, like the bloodline's kind of on the ropes, like we did a good job, of
The humans did a good job. The average person did a good job.
I mean, just no. I mean, people like you and people that are having these shows and getting the truth out and talking about the bloodlines, talking about the Rothschilds, and talking about Israel in a real way. And it's just, they're worried. Things are not going well, because you think, you live in the U.S. and you're kind of, it's easy to just say, oh man, there's no hope, these people are zombies, we're done. And it could be true about the U.S., in fact. But if you look at a global map of what's going on, if you know you you take the fact that like what 75 countries joined South Africa in their genocide thing at the World Court against Israel. You look at the fact that Colombia now, the country has a left-wing president for the first time in its history, who's actually like fighting the narcos instead of helping them because they work for the CIA and Exxon. You look at Africa, you got like the whole Central Africa, Mali, Senegal, Niger, Chad, Sudan, all turning towards Russia now, away from the West, Burkina Faso. You look at Modi meeting with Putin yesterday, and you look at China never being this close to Russia, never being that. I mean,
The
this
whole world
is
is
really
shifting. The whole
whole
geopolitical
world.
landscape is shifting. It seems like they're shifting against the West. And I think the left-right paradigm is not even a good
It's
description
not,
anymore. It's not a good
it's not
descriptor.
the whole story, but there is something to it because in the end, the left-right paradigm has to do with who controls the resources of the world, you know. And if you're on the right, you tend to think it's a free-for-all and just go for it, be a capitalist, do the best you can. If you're on the left, you're thinking more, you know, maybe the public should benefit, I think, from this instead of, you know, nothing wrong with capitalism, but we don't have to like turn
Well,
into
some people think the
cartel,
left
right?
is a total dictatorship and the right is a
Well, and the
total
way they're
free-for-all.
acting, I mean, you can't blame them because
But
the way what we know of, you know.
no, and the other perspective, which Dave Janda talks about, is the top-down perspective, oppression versus freedom. And that is what they don't want us to think about as a paradigm.
No. Right. Exactly. Wherever it's coming from, the state or the private, it doesn't even matter. It's just coming down on us. In fact,
That's
it's in
right.
cahoots. That's what we call fascism. So, you know, and actually, fascism was a term that was coined by, you know, it came from the Venetian bankers, you know, because they formed the word and the model and the seal and everything. And it was to protect the assets of the De Medicis and the Bancos and the Aldobrandinis and, you know, the Otticellis and all these Venetian banking families who later, well, they're the black nobility, they call them now, because they're not officially titled, but they, because Italy officially got rid of its monarchy. The Savoy family, which funded the whole fascist thing, which funded Mussolini, by the way, the Savoy bloodline king, those people funded Mussolini, just like the British crown trained Hitler at Tavistock Institute
That's
and then
right.
turned him loose. So they're these are the white supremacists. I mean, if you want to a real white supremacist, you want to go meet somebody who really does think that their skin's better than a black person's, then just go to Buckingham Palace because
That's
that's where all
true.
this shit emanates from. And there is this shit, you know, people deny it, but there is.
There is. They
And
do think that way.
moreover, it's just about bloodlines, right? Because they're obsessed with blood, right? So, you know, yeah, white, black, but that's all really different to them. And then where do all these blood types come from? And somebody explain that to me. Where do all these, and why do all the royal families have Rh negative blood? And it's really rare, except for them and the Basque people of northern Spain and southern France and Normandy. Where are the ones that?
How does Rh negative tie into like O negative and AB positive and all that stuff? Is like an
Well,
O negative and Rh? Go ahead.
no, you know, yeah. I mean, it's kind of. I don't really understand either. I mean, the O's are very universal, seem to be like you can donate that to anybody, but the Rh is like really scarce, and it's just interesting because there's a real concentration of that in these royal bloodlines. And so, is that a different, you know, is that an indication of even a different species because their blood's that different? Or they call themselves blue bloods. Apparently, the Rh negative has kind of this purplish tint to it. Stuff like that. And Sangreal in the Bible is the royal blood. You know, if you look at what does Sangreal mean, to me it means royal blood. So,
Some people
and the
think that they've intermingled so much with the average people that they no longer are really anything. That they're and those are the people that believe the Anunnaki and the Nephilim are no longer here, and they intermingled so much with average people that they're really nothing. They just are delusional in their beliefs. But
Well,
you think that the
and
Anunnaki and Nephilim are still here, so that changes that theory.
I mean, that's what I think, and I do. I'm sure some of the bloodline Anunnaki did interbreed enough with humans, on and on and on. that you couldn't even tell a difference now. But on the other hand, the elite are very careful with who they breed with. It's a eugenics project. I mean, Princess Diana, for example, that, Prince William is not Charles's kid, Prince William is Diana's and the King of Spain, King Juan Carlos. And they
Wow.
actually had a arranged thing because the blood is so strong. The Habsburgs, the Bourbons, the Franks over here, and then the Sinclairs and the Merovingians Dan had, and St. Clair, and one other one. Anyway, but really powerful blood, and that's Willie, and
And
there's
so
books
they
written
just
about it. They've
and
been
so they
saying.
just they just did the theater as if Charles was a father, but he's not.
Yeah, and then the other kid is her cab driver's kid, who she had an affair with when Charles went off with what's her name, So it's all just, but yeah. So I agree that some of that's happened. Actually, probably a lot of it, more than the other. But when you have these leaders who control the power, the assets, currently, I believe through BlackRock, Vanguard, conglomerate. When you have that, those people are not gonna just interbreed with the yokels. They're gonna be careful, and they're gonna and they've had the, I think they plan it to where they do it enough to where they appear human, see? And so they have to do that, but they then have to, occasionally they'll have reinforcement where they bring it back. And there was one such time in the 13th century in Normandy, and that's where William the Conqueror came from, was Normandy. And what had happened was all the Italian Venetian bankers came, and the Swiss bankers, and all the royals from, like, even the Rolla family, which is the Viking bloodline from the Norway, they all came together in Normandy. And yeah, there was this sort of interbreeding thing that happened, and out of that came William the Conqueror, who seized the British Isles. And the rest is history. We have the City of London. So part of that was that, but part of that was a reinforcement of the bloodlines, see, with the Anjou family and just all these different families that were there. So they're a strange bunch. I mean, but there's a reason they're obsessed with their blood, and our blood too, for that matter, because that's why they're so obsessed with DNA testing and, all this stuff, because to them it's just this big deal.
So let's talk about the City of London and what it is, because I don't think people realize that's a power center of the world from a financial standpoint, but it seems like it's losing ground because of the BRICS. Or there's a lot of theory that they're doing that on purpose and shifting their support to the BRICS.
That's a huge question just right there. So yeah, it is. But no, I mean, City of London, look, Londinium, it was called in the first century AD, is part of the Holy Roman Empire, very important part of it. People don't realize the Holy Roman Empire began within 9 years of the Egyptian pharaohs being overthrown, the last of them, Cleopatra. Cleopatra had an affair with Julius Caesar, as well as Mark Antony, had a kid with Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar was indeed the one who burned down the Alexandria Library in Egypt. To my mind, it was to get rid of all the records of all the bloodlines and all the control and all the who these people are, and just kind of have a fresh start, right? And then within 9 years of the Holy Roman Empire folding, Pax Britannica fired up, the British Empire. So that's true. That was like a seamless transition. And this is the same bloodline that just moves to different geographies. And they discovered at the end, okay, the British Isles, rocky coastline, we have the ships, they can't attack us, the hordes are on the mainland, we're good. And that's literally why they moved from Venice to London. And then shipbuilding was a huge thing on the Thames River. It was the epicenter of the shipbuilding in the 15th century. And but yeah, the City of London apparently had a charter by the time Londinium was there in the first century AD. And as a private corporation, it's actually a corp the corp City of London Corporation as well, but it's a 1 square mile of jurisdiction within London, the financial district. It's not part of London legally. It's not part of the UK legally. It's its own separate entity, like the Vatican or like DC. But weirder, because yeah, every bank has its own, like, Freemason Lodge, literally. attached to it. And there's the biggest banks in the world: Hong Kong, Shanghai Bank, HSBC, Barclays, NatWest, JP Morgan, yeah, all of them. And they all have a Freemason lodge. And then the Grand Master, or the Lord Mayor of the City of London, they have their own Freemason lodge. And then you have the Bank of England, which administers all the offshore bank accounts in the world through it, whether it's Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Vanuatu, doesn't matter. It's going through the Bank of England if it's offshore, right? So nobody knows. That's why nobody knows who owns what, because they're numbered accounts and only the Bank of England knows. And then you have the Anglican Church also in there, and to give their, I guess, blessing to it all. But yeah, there you don't vote. I mean, well, you vote, but corporations also vote. The banks vote, and the bigger the bank is, the more votes it gets.
Yeah,
So
geez.
totally undemocratic, right? And
That's
then you there's
crazy.
aldermen, and there's freemen, they call them, which I think is definitely a reference to Freemasons, but they call them freemen. And you have to be a Freemason. You have to be either an alderman or a freeman. And then it's all about like the livery company and the fishmonger, whatever. But it's all based around international banking, and that's where there's no regulation. So you can have oil money coming in to the bank, to the city, and it'll come out as whatever, Shriners Hospitals, and you can have drug money come in, and it'll go out as some parade, I suppose. And
It's some laundered good, they put it through good
laundered.
charities, right? But they
It's a
launder it
laundered.
through
Yeah.
charities.
It's the best
Yeah.
way to
Which is
describe
really
it. It's
sad.
a money laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's a
it
big
is.
money
And
laundering scheme
old
through
money laundry.
NGOs and charities.
Everything. And the
Yeah.
CIA loved it, because and they can hide their covert ops money there and all this stuff. So it really is the epicenter of the problem in the world, because then, well, until I think it was Reagan that allowed corporations to have US dollar accounts overseas for the first time. They could do it, but it had to be to buy goods, or it had to be to do a transaction, and then it couldn't just hold it there. But Reagan changed that, and then Bush and Clinton changed more things that made the City of London even more powerful, and Tony Blair
Like,
did too.
why would
And
we do that, right? Like, why would
why
the
would you?
US president make a city of London that's not supposedly in our country more powerful? That, I mean, it makes,
Right.
that should be an indication. Yeah.
Right, because he's a crown agent, is why. And
That's why, yeah.
they've been crown agents ever since Kennedy, by my reckoning, unfortunately. And they don't work for the United States. People think the CIA works for the United States. CIA was founded by the MI6 in 1945 at a meeting at in London. And they started the MI6, the Empire Press Union, recruiting for members of the press, because in a lot of ways media and intelligence are the same job. I mean, you're why do you think they call it
Unfortunately,
broadcasting?
yes.
What are you
Yes.
casting? What's the deal with broadcasting? What are you casting here?
It's all
Yeah,
about
and
control
so
of the
it's
people. That's right.
they learned a long time ago. Yeah, if you can just brainwash people with disinformation, then you don't have to bring out the National Guard. You don't have to worry about wasting money on bullets. All you do is just get them sitting there, and just
Yeah, you
taking in the
implement your
lies. And then,
agendas through lies. Yep.
So yeah, exactly. So that's why with the internet now, that's a whole nother advanced, even more advanced form of mind control, because it's interactive, and all the social media stuff is an intelligence operation, which I don't do any of, but that's why. Because it's an intelligence operation.
Well, at
And
first it was pretty free though, and a lot of us learned a lot, and then they started shutting it all
oh
down.
yeah, take what you
Yeah.
get. But Facebook literally started the day DARPA shut down LifeLog. That's a fact. It's in this book. You can read it. The same day, Mark Zuckerberg came out the very same day the DARPA shut down a thing called LifeLog and started Facebook. So it's LifeLog. He just took it
Change
over
the
from
name.
a
Yeah.
military operation, and it's based on sort of making these narcissistic people popular, or these, it's all kind of like it's an inverted morality thing where, yeah, the loud, stupid people get the most likes, and it's really bizarre. But Anyway,
It is true. It is true.
it's
And all the
really
good
weird.
stuff, the really good stuff doesn't
You get banned.
is banned, shadow
And I
banned.
was continually banned, banned, banned. I just got tired of it, and I just, I don't want to even participate in this anymore or be a part of this anymore. And I still say everybody should just get off Facebook. It's an intelligence operation, man. And you're giving them all this information about you that you don't want to give them, and they already have way too much. And me too, they have way too much. But so, and then Google was also a DARPA thing, right? Google was funded by DARPA, at Stanford Research Institute. And then what came out of that was Silicon Valley, which is very close to the Stanford Research Institute. And so all of this tech stuff, all of this, is contributing to the mind control. Now, we can do this, and we do, and we should, and do our, bop, bop, bop. And are we winning? I don't know. I mean, maybe we are. And but doesn't mean that the medium wasn't meant to be what it was meant to be. And it was meant to be a mind control operation. And I don't know if we're winning. I mean, are we winning, or are stupid TikTok videos winning? I don't know.
Well, I think
I don't
it
know yet.
backfired on them a little bit because,
I think it does mean, yeah.
yeah, because they're not just because they are powerful doesn't mean they're smart and clever. I mean, they are clever.
No, exactly.
They're
Good
not
point.
that. They're
Exactly.
not any different than anybody else. They so I think a lot of this
No.
backfired on them, and now they're trying to figure
Well,
out how to deal with it. But
right.
and it's also the good versus evil thing. The good still exists. I mean,
Yeah.
they can't completely
Yeah.
control everybody. But this is really fascinating. You have a lot of detail in your book, a lot of historical references. You really do a lot of research. I was really impressed looking through your book. It gives people a different perspective and really tying in these ancient scriptures all the way through to today's time. If people want a different perspective, they can read your books. You have a huge following. I noticed that. So, where can people learn more about you and buy some of your books and just, kind
Well,
of
yeah,
submerge
I
themselves?
guess I do have a Substack now, that's up and running. So yeah, you can find me on Substack, and you can also just go to Amazon.com. Amazon, Dean Henderson, Amazon. I guess type that in, Dean Henderson, Amazon, and you can see I got 7 books. Yeah, those are the two ways. And there's a bio on there, just whatever, what I've done and whatever. But yeah, they've definitely knocked me off the internet like twice. I had a WordPress blog, and they did it once in 2014, and I found out exactly where that came from. It was Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which is the Army Signal Intelligence headquarters in the U.S. And the second time was 2019, and right before COVID, right before COVID, and they
Well, when
also
all of
froze my
us were
blog.
knocked off.
Were you knocked out that too, at that time?
Yeah, right be
19.
2019, 20, right before the November
There you
election.
go.
The
Wow. There you
December
go.
election,
Yeah.
yeah. Oh,
In
yeah.
18. Oh, yeah.
2019,
Yeah.
November or October, actually October 20, I can't remember. It was
Gotcha.
October. It was a few weeks
Gotcha.
before the election. That's what I know.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think it happened to me in February or March of 19. I can't.
You did
No,
for
it's
us.
actually 2020. No, it's wrong. I'm wrong. It was 2020, wasn't
So
it?
you
'Cause
were
yeah,
after
you got here
us.
in 19.
Yeah.
After February, like February, yeah, but 2020. Yep. Well, there you go. I wonder who else got knocked. That'd be interesting to
It was a
compile a list
huge
of
operation. It
who
was a
got knocked off in
huge
that.
operation at that
Yeah,
time. Yeah.
that just tells you, right, that they really are losing. I think, like, you don't go to those ends if you're not losing the information war. And it's just about the quality of the information as opposed to the quantity of it. And I think you're right. The truth resonates with people. Okay, it just does. And it doesn't matter. It resonates actually even more if you haven't heard it, like, in what seems like forever, which is kind of the society we live in now. I mean, the truth has been thrown under the bus, obviously, and it's under attack every day. So when people hear the truth, they do respond to it because they're still human, and not
For
all of them,
sure.
I'm sure,
Truth
but
has a
a lot
way
of them.
of, you light a little brush fire of truth and it tends to expand on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I guess we're arsonists, man, or something.
Well,
Intellectual arsonists.
that's right, right? We just, because truth has a life of its own. I mean, you don't have to fight for the truth. You just let it out there. And if it's truth, it'll spread on its own. And you just kind of seed where you can, and it kind of, they can't stop the truth. And lies will die once the truth of, sunlight gets put on it. But okay,
Sure.
so Is it Dean Henderson? What is your Substack link?
Dean Henderson, I guess is how does he do that? DeanHenderson.substack.com probably.
Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
have the
Dean Henderson.
link below.
Cool. Yeah. And yeah, and I really appreciate you having me, Sarah. It's great to see you. And thanks for all the great work you do, man. Keep it up, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. It's not that easy to do, as you know, but we got to do it.
Yeah, it's something to do, right?
It's not just something to do. It feels like I have to do it. I don't know why. It's
Yeah,
stupid. If
I know.
I was a smart thinking person, I wouldn't be doing it, but it's important. It's important for it. Actually, let me take that back. Being a thinking person, you have to do it, I think, if you care about your family and humanity.
I mean, it is, and I know I can't. You try to, you could try to get away from it, but you really once you see the truth, and no, it's a whole different way to live if you start living in the truth, man. And I mean, the more you live in the truth, the more at odds you're going to be with the rest of the world. That's just the way it is. And once you accept that, that's pretty cool. You just don't care. You just don't
You
care.
just keep going because you know what the truth is, and it shows itself. Like COVID, I know when that started, we were just like ostracized at first, and then I mean the truth is coming out. It's becoming obvious, the childhood deaths up by 3,000%, that kind of stuff. That's a really sad situation, what's happening. But
Yeah, you just hold people get held accountable, you know.
that's true. You really do. But okay, Dean, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, sir. You have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Shoot me a link when you get one.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye.